I'm probably more fit with the second half of the workshop. I haven't done much in infinite dimensions. Well, even in finite dimensions, I'm still new in Hamiltonian dynamics. So by no means I'm an expert on this. So what I'm going to talk today is recent work joined with Xunyi Chao and Martin Manute and Mason Porter. Martin Manute is one of our postdocs at the Center for Dynamical System at Georgia Tech, and Mason Porter is a postdoc in at the physics department. So we the kind of phenomena we're going to talk about, I don't know enough physics to tell you the full story, and I don't think in this work there's much mathematical novelty to talk about it. But I think the phenomena itself and the approach we take is kind of interesting. The work is mainly motivated by so-called Bose-Einstein constantates. Well, that's so-called BEC. BEC is a kind of phenomena that at low temperature and atoms in dilute gas and can rise at the ground states or some quantum states. Well, of course, and you can talk about millions of atoms interactions, but when you consider mean field interaction and the thing can be modeled by two body interaction either under some idealized hypothesis. This leads to nonlinear Schrödinger equation with a cubic term. And in this equation, psi is the BEC wave function for two-body interactions, and the G is a combination of all those. M is the atom mass, and A is two-body scattering length. And the potential, this V, and there are two potentials, this cubic term, and this is so-called external potential, is physically is commonly adopted. I mean, this type of this form is commonly adopted. So I have this is periodic or quasi-periodic, and this is so-called a trapping term. Okay, so the every term has a coefficient. Okay, now the BEC is experimentally observed, I believe, first in 1995, and recently there is experiments in for optical lattice, and with up to 200 wells has been observed. So you really take this type of potential. Basically you assume there's one frequency. So this is really periodic, and then you can measure up to 200 wells. Okay. Of course, I mean the trapping was taking consideration too. Okay. So that's reference, and that's experiment, and it's published in Physics Review Letter 87 and 201. Okay. Okay. So what is we have heard several talks on nonlinear Schrödinger equation, and with the phenomena I'm going to describe is a little different. In other words, in this kind of equation, it's not necessary to assume that those V's are small. Okay, I mean even you take this trapping term to be zero, I mean you consider periodic or quasi-periodic potential. Okay, this is from physics motivation. Now. So the kind of wave we are interested, in physics, people often talk about so-called modulated amplitude waves. So in other words, you take the wave function for psi, and you look for wave with nz having this form. So this c prime satisfy this equation c over r squared. C is the wave speed. And then if you plug this into the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, then you got this equation. Okay. To play with dynamical system, so well, we assume that we only consider the case where c equal to zero, and that's the standing wave case. So then you got a nice equation with Dauphin-like equation like this. And then we further do rescaling just for mathematical convenience and those kind of rescaling, and we have this nice equation. So it's a second order ODE. Yeah, you will see in a moment, because we're trying to study. So the problem we're trying to study here is to study a so-called the regular or irregular profile, wave profile. So that means that in terms of this kind of equation, so you have to sort of define what is regular, what is irregular. Irregular, well, roughly speaking, you talk about something like chaos. Irregular, and you talk about some kind of quasi-periodic motion. So you like to find, so the problem is to find a threshold condition which separate the two type of profile. So the threshold condition has to be found in term of the potential and the other physical parameter parameters in the equation. So that's the purpose. So the purpose here is not only to find phenomena, but also find estimates. And that's the purpose. So for that purpose, so not only that we need to assume, so this is a periodic potential, I mean, not only we need to assume we have standing wave, maybe there's other ways to treat the other type of modulate amplitude waves rather than standing wave. At this moment, we can only do standing wave. And for standing wave, and we assume that this W is real analytic and periodic with period 2 pi over kappa. Okay? Yeah, that's right. I mean, you mean this term here. Yeah. Well, no, this is nz. You find that kind of wave of this form, and then you just go ahead substitute this into the equation, and then somewhere that involves derivative state prime replaced by this. That's right. No. I mean, this is done in physics discipline. I mean, I guess the reason, and there has to be a physical reason behind this. No. This is not approximation. You substitute this in there, and this is the equation you find. For the real part, I think, yeah. Well, you notice that you take one more derivative somehow for the real part. I mean, I didn't derive the equation. So really, I mean, so I guess to answer your question, I think this is the exact equation that you find. Yeah, sure. I mean, if you assume C equal to zero, and then everything is clear. Yes. Yes. Okay. So this is the motivation and the problem we're trying to understand. So let me, first of all, summarize the result. This is not really surprising. So the result that, you're given are these numbers. So gamma will be clear on the second part, and eta that measures the width of the real analytic domain. Then you can find omega naught in explicit form. So it's complicated form. That depends all the physical parameters. This is the frequency in external potential, and depends on gamma and delta alpha. That's involved in the equation, and the norm of W. And this is in the scale of, roughly speaking, that's in the scale of W norm times the log of that. And also is increasing with respect to kappa. Okay, so we have some messy estimate for this. So that if you take any irrational number greater or equal to this lower bound and the following holds. So first of all, that always corresponds to a Aubrey measure type of solution with frequency omega m1. Okay? I mean, Aubrey measure solution is kind of a generalized Dunning type solution. It's a generalization to quasi-periodic solutions. And if omega is of constant type, so constant type, I mean that it's Diophantine, usually you have gamma tau, so this tau is taken to be 2. And then this Aubrey measure solution become quasi-periodic, and the maximum intensity, I mean that just means the maximum of UR, and that's roughly in the scale of g to the minus 1/2 times omega. This g is the combined parameter that I defined in the second slice. Okay. You mean this? Yes. Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. Sorry. The previous. Mean this, right? The equation. Oh, the equation for R. Okay. This. Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I mean mathematically, I mean what we really deal with is this equation with periodic potential. Okay, so that's Dunning type of equation. Well, let me first of all give an example. The reason to give this example is that we have no theoretical result for the irregular or chaotic profile. We have the result for the previous result is mainly for regular profile. For this example that we do little numerics. So in this example, you take W to be just periodic, like this. And then you have, you can write this into first order system. And then what you have is, this is typo. And this equation has two reversible symmetries, and these two. And due to those symmetry, you can do rescaling. Okay, if you do this kind of rescaling, and then you can reparameterize the parameter delta to be either 0 plus or minus 1, and alpha to be either 0 or plus or minus 1. So in this example, let's just take delta to be negative 1 and alpha to be 1. Okay, and by the way, something I forgot to say is that in this, this G term involves this scattering length A. So this A, when A is positive, that means those two body is repulsive. If it's negative, that means they are attractive. Okay? So in this example, if you rescale the parameter in this way, and that corresponds to attractive BEC. Okay? And with negative, this is silly, negative chemical potential, that just means mu. Okay? So that's the frequency. Okay? So the physicists call them chemical potential for some reason. Yeah, we drop that. We drop that. Yeah, we drop that. We assume that, that this is periodic. Okay. Yes? No, no, no. No, the R prime. So we do introduce a new variable, right, into first order system. I mean, you let R prime. Oh. The other way around. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, the other way around. Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, so what you find is in terms of all those pictures, I mean, that's correspond to increasing of the size of V, the size of W, okay? And this external potential. So that's the V1 is the coefficient of that periodic potential. Okay? So you take V1 equal to 0.1, and you get this. This is really nearly integrable. Okay? And you have some, you can see that there's something very regular and in exterior and interior. Okay? And this, that surrounds this figure 8 orbit. Okay? And then when you increase and you, this domain gets shrinking, okay, like that. So this regular region becomes shrinking, okay, and it produces more irregular orbits, okay. When you increase that, so it keeps shrinking, and then you find something, you know, those white region, and that's something supposed to be complicated, okay. So in this, look at this picture, and the exterior region, and those are the regular orbits. Those corresponds to really the quasi periodic orbit measure sets. I mean, the orbit measure sets stays in between those regular, I mean, those quasi periodic orbits. Okay. Now, the theorem is stated with respect to a threshold condition in terms of frequency. So omega naught, and that can be interpreted as the amplitude. Okay, so same thing. Okay. Docking. Well, I don't know whether you're talking about mathematically, it makes a difference. I will say that if you take this equation, right? I mean, you'll see, clear, I mean, once we derive the action angle variable, I mean, that's what we're going to do in next slide. Again, the top equation is wrong. And then you have, this is Hamiltonian, and this is time dependent, it's Hamiltonian of 1.5 degree freedom, and this is the potential, that's the kinetic energy. Well, you have all those things defined, and to derive action angle variable, you freeze this time variable to C, okay, and then you do the usual action angle variable. Okay. I mean, what is done in our work? No, no, no. You have to be away from the saddle. Yes. Yeah. Yes. The equations. This one. Ah. Okay, so you want this equation put over there? Okay. Yeah, I mean, I have trouble, you know, this thing, you know, flying around. I'm not a person that can handle many things at once, so that's... Sorry for that. Okay. So what is, well... Like I said, I mean, like to the main goal is to find this threshold condition. So what is the really new here is to you have to explicitly derive the action angle variable and do estimates. Okay, Later on, we're going to apply averaging, nested averaging procedure that Jin Wang was talking about yesterday, and also later on we apply Hermann's twin theorem. That's the general idea. So I mean, those are the theorems available to us. With you have precise estimates, you can have more precise estimates. I mean, I hope that one can have more general theorem. Oh, sorry, not this. Okay. So the action angle variable, you do that, and these are the roughly the terms that we find. So it has, in terms of action angle variable, Hamiltonian becomes this, has two terms, K naught and K1, and K naught is independent of theta, the angular variable, and K naught has this form. Okay, so alpha 1, alpha 2 is, they depends on physical parameters in the equation explicitly. Okay, and then you do this shift. This is mean to be J. Oh, sorry, this is I, this is J. Okay, that's fine. You take, and this is the usual thing that people do all the times. And then you fix the position I naught and treat that as a parameter, and you shift that and with this scaling. Okay, and then you got a new Hamiltonian in term of theta J, like this. Okay, and in this new Hamiltonian, this term, if you average this term with respect to time, and that's cubic in J, and if you average this remainder term with respect to theta, you have zero. So that's so omega in the equation is this, has this asymptote. Okay, and this Q in the equation, this quadratic coefficient, has this asymptote. Okay, and these are the things that you actually need. Okay, in the thing. So this is the, yeah. So these are the equations. So now, if you write this equation in the in vector fields, and that's this. Okay, so this F is corresponds to this Hamiltonian term, and Q1, Q2, and this capital Q is Q1, Q2 combined. Okay, and you write it in autonomous form like this. Okay, now, in terms of this equation, actually you can derive same type of equation with force pendulum, so periodic force pendulum. That has been studied a lot, or in general, Hamiltonian system with 1.5 degree freedom, the quasi-periodic dynamics. I mean, the equation become nearly integrable if the periodic external potential is small, or you take this frequency to be sufficiently large. Okay? So in these two cases, you can play with KM theory and find quasi-periodic motion. This has been done by various authors. Okay? And it's motivated with a work of Littlewoods and it's done by many people, and Jian Gong Yu is in the audience. Okay. Now, actually, just for this BEC, and this equation, I wrote the starting type of equation for V. If you take the potential to be small, the external potential to be small, and actually that's done recently by physicists. They find the quadratic periodic solution using KM arguments. Okay. So our work is actually motivated by those works. And I mean, one of my collaborators involved in this. And as I said, so the next step, the first step, once you get the action angle variable, the next step you will perform a nested averaging. So that's averaging in terms of theta, not the time variable. Okay, so in terms of theta, that's periodic. Okay, now it turns out that if you assume omega to be large enough, okay. So omega times sigma, Well, the sigma is that to do this averaging, you have to do it in finite number of steps. And every time you do, then the domain is shrinking. And the size between two adjacent domains, that's measured by the sigma. Okay? And then if sigma, omega times sigma, bigger than some explicit lower bound, you can find estimate for that. And then it turns out that the new Hamiltonian, this remainder term, so every time the perturbation through G is reduced, the size is reduced by one half. Okay? So then you can figure out how many steps roughly you need to take. So you need to take roughly the steps is sigma to the minus one, and that's proportional to omega. So therefore, if you take capital N minus steps, okay, and you take n different domains, and this is less or equal to this, so I have a bound. So that's you have exponential bound in terms of omega. What is with D? Oh yeah. I mean that's just that's just I mean it's just mathematical convenience. And like I said, I mean you want to shrink this domain, right? So you keep this part and you shrink this part. Yeah. So that's just it's not intentional. So you end up with this Hamiltonian. So the average Hamiltonian like this with the following property. So this Q tilde is greater or equal to one half of Q. Q is the original coefficients. Okay, so this is the average coefficients. This condition is needed to guarantee the twins. So then you have estimate for F tilde that's bounded by the original F and Q, and Q tilde has this exponential factor in term of omega, okay? And this alpha naught has an explicit form that depends on the norm of Q, F, and all these, okay? So now you can, what you can do is, now you can, if you look at the, so this is the vector fields. And you write a vector field into two parts. So the first part is this. Okay, so that's called the x tilde naught. Okay, so that's so this part is independent of theta, and the remainder term, and that's the perturbation term that depends on theta. Okay, so you let p to be the Pangolin map of this vector fields. And then P naught to be the Pangolin map for this unperturbed system. Okay? And then so P naught has this form. Okay, so that's Q tilde here. And then this G that's the order of J squared. Okay? Now you notice that if I do that, because the vector field is exponential perturbation of this this unperturbed part, and therefore so is the Pangolin map. Okay. Now to apply Hermann's twin theorem, and there's one more step one needs to do is to conjugate in the smaller domain, conjugate the Pangolin map to this. Okay, and that's the form in Hermann's paper. Okay. So then you have a conjugacy to this map, and this G tilde is exponentially small. Okay. So you need to again find the conjugacy and estimate this G tilde. So once you find this, and then Hermann's twin theorem says that invariant circle for omega of constant type exists if this G tilde, the C4 norm of G tilde is sufficiently small. So that's that's the smallness condition for the C tilde, and you trace back everything. You trace back this bound, and trace back the bound for nested estimates, and everything that gave you the lower bound I'm talking about. Now, once you have this, once you have invariant circles, and then you can find you can just find every measure sets between any two invariant circles. That's for standard. Yeah, that's what we begin with. Yeah, right. But for those estimates, we do need analysis and to find easier estimates. Otherwise, the estimate can get messy. But you're right. You can lower down the regularity hypothesis. Sure. You need n capital N plus 4 maybe, something like that, yeah. Oh. Okay. What we did, I mean, actually, like I said, every measure says you find it for free once you have invariant circles. Okay? I mean, actually, for the fourth pendulum equation, it's known that every measure says exists for any non-zero irrational rotation number. I mean, that's you don't really need a monotone prisma to preserve the boundary components. So here, I mean, the problem like this, and the twins condition is only satisfied in part of the phase space, not the whole phase space. Okay, so that's the trouble. I mean, you need to find every measure set. You do need to find, first of all, invariant circles, and then you apply every measure theory. Okay. So let me just say that this result actually we did it in general fashion. You have Hamiltonian of 1.5 degree freedom like this, okay, and it's a real analytic and periodic in T, okay. And then the similar theorem holds. You find a lower bound of frequency omega naught, and roughly in the scale of R and log R in norm. And then the same theorem holds. And then you have estimates for the, once you have omega is of constant type, and then you find the invariant torus and the amplitude of the torus in terms of x and variable, you can find that explicitly. That gave you the estimate we need. Let me just finally remark that in this thing, you notice that the averaging using NASDAQ method, that's only done with respect to theta, not in time. Okay? So therefore, and you can really assume that this T is quasi-periodic if you wish. Okay? I mean, you can still do NASDAQ averaging, and then you end up with a Hamiltonian system with quasi-periodic time dependence. So then you cannot apply twin theorem or any type, but you can play with KM theory, and that gives you some bound, but this bound, of course, will not be as accurate as the bound we find. Okay? So that's about, hopefully, I mean, that's something more explained. If you look at the example I gave, I mean, our bound find is really, I mean, it's more or less is Schaeffer bound, okay, for that. Okay. And that's the story. I hope is interesting to you. Like I said, I mean, there's more to be done, and in this direction, actually, people in physics, and because of our work, and then they are reading papers for quasi-periodic motion, not just for waves, so for non-initiating equations. Okay. Okay, thank you.